Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Why are many Latter-day Saints troubled by questions about the spirit world? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at a conference message that was given by Dallin H. Oaks. As a member of the First Presidency, he taught this message that was supposed to, I think, comfort those who have questions about the spirit world. He begins this talk by discussing a letter that he received quite some time ago, he said, from a woman who was concerned about the fact that her husband was sealed to another woman for eternity, and she was wondering what her place was going to be in the next life. Let me very quickly recap what she said. Oaks said she asked this question: would she be able to have her own house in the next life, or would she have to live with her husband and his first wife? And Oaks responded, "I just told her to trust the Lord." And as we were discussing yesterday, that hardly seems like an appropriate answer to a woman who has, I think, a legitimate question and concern. It sounds like, from the context that we have here, that she's not real happy about this idea. But yet that's going to be her eternity if, in fact, she's supposed to share her husband with another woman in the next life. Then he gives another example in the next paragraph about the same type of a situation. And in this particular case, it wasn't Oaks that answered the question. It was another leader, he said, who told these concerned members, "You are worried about the wrong things. You should be worried about whether you will get to those places. Concentrate on that." And Oaks responds to that answer by saying, "What a comforting teaching, trust in the Lord." And again, I would argue that doesn't sound very comforting, especially since in our experience, when we talk to Latter-day Saints, they don't even know where they're going to be in the next life based on all the requirements that the church has for them. So how could you even be comforted in that idea alone, that you need to focus on yourself, much less focusing on what are the marriage relationships going to be in the next life if a woman marries a man who's sealed to multiple women?
They know they're trying and they know they're doing their best, but they know that they're not able to be successful in keeping the commandments as D&C 2515 says they're supposed to.
Well, Oaks goes on to talk about other letters. So apparently this is a real issue. There are a lot of Latter-day Saints who are very concerned about what the next life holds for them. So what does he go on and say there, Eric?
"From letters I have received, I know that others are troubled by questions about the spirit world we will inhabit after we die and before we are resurrected. Some assume that the spirit world will continue many of the temporal circumstances and issues we experience in this mortal life. What do we really know about conditions in the spirit world? I believe a BYU religion professor's article on this subject had it right. Quote, when we ask ourselves what we know about the spirit world from the standard works, the answer is not as much as we often think." End quote.
Now, let me go back here because something stood out to me as you were reading that. The questions that were given at the beginning of his talk had to do, you would assume, with after the resurrection and judgment. Now he's going backwards, and he prefaces by saying, "troubled by questions about the spirit world we will inhabit after we die and before we are resurrected." Well, wait a minute. These are questions they have about after they're resurrected, the eternality of this doctrine of being sealed to more than one woman in this particular case. But there's another interesting thing that comes up here. When he mentions this BYU professor, he's referring to Brent L. Topp, when he says, when we ask ourselves what we know about the spirit world from the standard works, the answer is not as much as we often think. Now, that's interesting, Eric, because when we would attend the Mormon Miracle Pageant down in Manti, the pageant opens with this couple, especially the wife of this couple, who has questions about where did we come from, why are we here, and where are we going? And the criticism is implied from her statement that those of us in the evangelical community do not have answers to those questions, that only Mormonism seems to have the answers to that question. Now, that's not true. We certainly do have answers to those questions, but the answers given by the Mormon Church are supposed to be more satisfying, according to that portion of the pageant.
And why? Because according to Top, that they have the standard works. But we need to understand, Mormonism is more than just about the standard works. It's been made very clear as to where a person can get doctrine from their own writings, from the church's own writings, such as church manuals. Let me just give you a couple to set the pace for the rest of this series that we're doing. From Gospel Principles, this was produced in 2009, page 45 and 48. Listen to what it says. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints accepts four books of Scripture, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. These books are called the standard works of the church. That's what Top is referring to. The inspired words of our living prophets are also accepted as Scripture. And then it goes on page 48 and says, in addition to these four books of Scripture, the inspired words of our living prophets become Scripture to us. Their words come to us through conferences, the Liahona or Ensign magazine, and instructions to local priesthood leaders. We believe all that God has revealed, all that He does now reveal, and we believe that He will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And that comes from Articles of Faith 1:9. The point being is that it's not just the standard works that we're supposed to be able to learn what the restored gospel is all about, but we have these leaders who are supposed to communicate to us to help us better understand where did we come from, why are we here, and where are we going? But what I'm seeing here in this article is that this leader doesn't have a whole lot of answers on very important questions people are asking. And so I think they end up remaining confused.
I think, too, that some of these questions are born out of the fact that some leaders in the past have made comments on that issue, and that's what's causing them concern as well. I mean, just the fact that you know that in the next life you're going to have to be simultaneously married to a man for eternity and another woman is married to the same man for eternity, you could see why that alone is going to cause some of these kinds of questions. It's Mormonism itself that raises these issues, and they're merely wanting some details on what this looks like. Oakes doesn't have the answer. This leader that he refers to in the second paragraph obviously didn't have an answer. And then we have Brent Topp from BYU, who apparently also admits we don't have a lot of answers. So when Mormons try to imply that, hey, as a restored Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have all the answers and you don't have answers, you evangelicals, that's a bit of an exaggeration, wouldn't you think? Because on a lot of these issues, they really don't. And if they do have answers at all, many times you're going to find that they conflict with what the Bible has to say, or in some cases, even with what the Book of Mormon may have to say on the issue, because as we've stated many times on this show, a lot of the doctrine that many Latter-day Saints hold to today comes after the writing of the Book of Mormon, and Joseph Smith, his doctrine was still evolving after 1830 when the Book of Mormon was published. So you're not going to find a lot of the unique teachings of Mormonism in the Book of Mormon. So they've kind of made this problem for themselves. And I can understand why, especially in the two examples given here at the beginning of Oakes' sermon, that these people would be concerned about what the next life is going to look like. But then he goes on in his talk to say, of course we know from the Scriptures that after our bodies die, we continue to live as spirits in the spirit world. The Scriptures also teach that this spirit world is divided between those who have been righteous or just during life and those who have been wicked. They also describe how some faithful spirits teach the gospel to those who have been wicked or rebellious. And then he gives these references. 1 Peter 3:19 and the Doctrine and Covenants, section 138, and he gives several verses out of D&C 138, which of course is the last section in the Doctrine and Covenants based on a vision that Joseph F. Smith, the sixth president of the church, had. But I want to address 1 Peter 3:19. 1 Peter 3:19 does not imply that some faithful spirits are going to teach the gospel to those who have been wicked or rebellious. It doesn't say that at all in 1 Peter 3:19. Though I will say that many scholars do see 1 Peter 3:19 as a vague passage, which is difficult to understand specifically what Peter was referring to. It certainly didn't refer to what Oakes just said it referred to. He should not have included that verse as describing faithful spirits who are going to teach the gospel to those who have been wicked. Now, he could have used D&C section 138, because it does tend to say that, but not 1 Peter 3:19. So here we have an example of Dallin H. Oakes playing fast and loose with the Bible.
It goes on to say, most important, modern revelation reveals that the work of salvation goes forward in the spirit world. See Doctrine and Covenants 138, 30 through 34 and 58. And although we are urged not to procrastinate our repentance during mortality, see Alma 13:27, we are taught that some repentance is possible there. See Doctrine and Covenants 138, 58.
Now, there's a lot that I want to talk about when it comes to that last part of that paragraph. When he says, and although we are urged not to procrastinate our repentance during mortality, what stuck out to me, Eric, is when I read that, not to procrastinate our repentance during mortality, I'm thinking Alma 34, and we've talked about Alma 34 many times on this show. But the reference that Oakes gives was not Alma 34, it was Alma 13:27.
This is what it says, and now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance.
Now, that's a generic statement to encourage members to live godly lives, as many Latter-day Saints are often encouraged. I don't have a problem with that. But Alma 13:27 doesn't contain a lot of the details that Alma 34, 32, and following tends to contain. And I think that's important, because if Oakes had been citing Alma 34, I think his next statement would have been a little bit different when he says, we are taught that some repentance is possible there. And then he cites D&C 138, 58. And tomorrow's show, I want to pick up at that spot, Eric, and look further into these passages that Oakes is citing, and also look further into his conclusion as to what he thinks those verses are saying to members of the LDS Church.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.